All right, I'll go back. Ms. Reynolds, you're on mute. I'll go back to you in a second. Ms. Risby?
Good afternoon, I'm here.
Excellent. Mr. Tate?
Here.
Hello, Mr. Vall. I did not see him on the participant list, but wanted to make sure. Go back to Ms. Reynolds.
Are you
there? We go. All right. I saw you were there. Perfect. All right. So we have 6 out of 7 members. So that's a quorum. So we are good to move forward.
Yes, Chair Avery, just a point of notification. This meeting is after Chair Vall's term expired. So you actually only have 6 members of the CBOC currently.
Okay. Did he not? I thought he re-upped. My bad.
He did, but it had happened after this meeting notice, so he'll be cycled back in.
Okay, excellent.
We're waiting for full board action and all of the process, but you have a full quorum, full cohort today.
Full group. All right, excellent. Well, thank you very much for that clarification. All right, so the first thing is go to public comment. As a reminder, if you are in the public watching and you would like to make a comment, you can visit the CBOC page of the website, which is rccd.edu/committees/CBOC. If you are in the public and you'd like to make a comment, you can go to that website, click on the virtual comment request form, and you will be given a link to join the meeting at that time. While we give that for a second, are there any written comments that were sent in ahead of time? I'm thinking none received. All right, none received. All right. If we do get a public comment, we'll move on just for the purposes of moving forward. But if we get someone request, Renee, if you would please just let me know and we'll invite the public to join in. All right, so the first action item is the approval of minutes from our meeting on October 14th. I will entertain a motion from a committee member to approve those minutes.
I have a question.
Yes.
I just wanted to clarify that in the minutes, I guess is this my last meeting or is March my last meeting?
Because Ms. Delgadillo, I think you're good for a little bit. I think I had it up here. I think you joined March 2021, so you're all the way good until March 23. It's a 2-year term.
Oh, okay, because in the minutes it says March 2022.
I think that's the rest of us. You're the only one. Everyone else is up in March of 22. You're the only one that's good until March 23. So.
Oh, okay.
But. It's a good call out. So if it's not, if that's not clear, if we make that change to, in the minutes, if that's not clear.
Yeah, in the minutes, yes, because it specifically says member Delgadillo term out March 2022.
All right, we will make that correction. And
all right.
If there's no other corrections or suggestions, then we'll entertain a motion to approve with that correction.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve with that.
I second.
All right. So I think that was Ms. Risby who made the motion. And I think I heard Ms. Reynolds beat out Ms. Petty for the second there. So we will go ahead and take a vote. Okay. I'll run through. Ms. Delgadillo?
Approve. Yes.
All right. Ms. Petty?
Aye.
Ms. Reynolds?
Aye.
Ms. Risby?
Aye.
Mr. Tate?
Aye.
And I will also vote aye. So that is a 6-0 vote to approve the minutes. All right, moving on. We have Proposition 39 audit update from Clifton Larson Allen, LLP.
Thank you, Chair Avery. This is Vice Chancellor Aaron Brown. And what we have is the annual Proposition 39 audit report, and we have a representative here from Clifton Larson. But before that, I'll turn it over to our controller, John Garrity. So, John, go ahead.
Thank you, Vice Chancellor Brown. Thank you, Chair Avery and committee for letting us present today. You know, as we continue to be in COVID and having to do our audits remote, I want to thank Misty Griffin. I want to specifically call her out. She ran this audit from start to beginning. She's the one that helped coordinate with AP, pulling all the backup, preparing all the schedules. I reviewed them, you know, as the job as a controller, but I mean, she prepared 100% of the paperwork. We split it last year, but she took it all this year. So, she, you know, just so that we have to improve and let her see the whole process from front to back and all the footnotes. So she worked very closely with Heather McGee from Clifton Larson Allen, who's here. And at this moment, I would just hand it off to Heather and she'll step through the governance letter, the audit report, and the sampling that was taking place.
Very good. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me out here today. Just a quick question before we get started. Do I have sharing capabilities or will the reports be brought up?
I think, Renee, can you answer that or Rebecca?
Heather, you can go ahead and share.
Okay. Let me just get set up real quick. Okay, so one of the challenges, Ruth, presenting via Zoom is getting everything on your screen so you can see and then also try to look into the camera. So I might look a little bit because I have several monitors up. But thank you again for having me out here today. I'm here to present the governance letter as well as the two financials or the two reports. There's actually two reports in one when it comes to the Proposition 39. There's the financial report as well as the performance report. But let's look at the governance letter real quick. So the governance letter is required per our professional standards at the end of the audit to report back certain information to the entity, including the management, board of trustees, and the COCB committee in the case of a Proposition 39. But what this letter is important is it really points out if there's any issues in the process. So if we had any audit adjustments, they would be included in this letter, as well as if we had any disagreements with management on accounting principles, in which there were none. So that's just important to point out to you that we didn't have any issues. As we look into the financial statements, again, like I said, there's actually two reports in one. The first report we're going to be reviewing has to do with the audited financial statements. So this is just the capital projects fund alone. It's not a representation of the district as a whole, but as required by Proposition 39, we do look at those funds as well as perform certain compliance steps. So the letter is similar to any audit report that you would see in which there is an independent auditor's opinion. And then the opinion that we're looking for can be found on page 3 of the audit report, and it's in the very first paragraph. So what the opinion is saying is that the report is presented fairly in material respects. So those who have been around for a while, you might refer to this as a clean opinion or unmodified opinion, but the language that you're looking for really is in all material respects to indicate that this is a good report, that these numbers can be relied upon. And so we look through the financials. I'm going to turn to the statement of revenues and expenses. So as you know, during 2021, the district did do a refunding of some of its debt. In a year where there's an actual issuance, you'll see the influx of those proceeds, but we don't see any proceeds when there's a refund because those money actually go into the escrow account. So they stay off of this financial statements, but we can see looking at this statement that during the year we had $13 million in expenditures. And then for ending fund balance, we have $29 million, which means we have $29 million remaining available funds to continue the projects that have been begun. Financial statements are followed with footnote disclosures. So just a little bit more insight into the district, the bond program, as well as the long-term debt that's associated with these funds. Now that debt's not a debt of the specific capital outlay fund, it's a debt of the district. So if you're wanting to see the full disclosure and the full accrual, you would refer to the audited financial statements of the district. But another page to point out to you before we look at the other portion of the report is page 13. So one thing I like about page 13 is it has a lot of blank space. So what that means is there are no findings that are associated with the bond program for 2021. And it also circles back and comments on 2020 as well. So you have 2 years of no findings associated with these funds. And then the second portion is really the performance piece. So we refer to this as the compliance portion of the report. And so the language is a little bit different, but it still is set up where it has an opinion on the financial or on the compliance step. So instead of immaterial respects, we're looking at insignificant respects for compliance language. So what that means is that the district has complied with the requirements of Proposition 39. The compliance portion does give a little bit background information. Why is this work performed? What is our objectives? But what's important to share with the committee today is what did we actually test? So we did test a sample of 39 non-salary and benefit type expenditures. So those are true construction costs, and which equated to $6.9 million or 54% of the total expenditures for the year. So Proposition 39 audits are a little unique. In a typical audit, we would not test that high of a number, but that is the requirement of Proposition 39, that a sample of greater than 50% is tested to ensure compliance with that the funds are spent according to the projects that were advertised to the voters. There are salaries and benefits that are charged to this fund. So we do review the individuals that are charged to the Capital Outlay Projects Fund. And we can concur that there are no administrators in there. So that's kind of a big deal when we look at Proposition 39 is that when these funds are issued, they can't be used for administrators, only for individuals working directly with the program. So in conclusion, we have a conclusion at the bottom of the page. It indicates that the district has complied with the spending requirements of these proceeds. And that's all I had to point out to you. If there was anything in the report you would like me to circle back and talk a little bit more, I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you very much. Committee members, do you have any questions at all for the auditing team or staff?
I don't.
I'm good.
All right.
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Well, then I think we're all good. Thank you very much for putting this together. And thank you for your time to be here, Ms. McGee, and share it with us. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Have a great meeting.
Thank you. All right. Then we will move on to item number 5, which is the Measure C financial update.
Thank you once again, Chair Avery. The next item is the project commitment summary report. I will hand this off to Misty Griffin, the accounting services manager for presentation. So Misty, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you and good afternoon, everybody. Renee, will you be putting up the measures, the CBOC report, page 31? Please. Oh, there we go. Thank you. Thank you. So before you is the project commitment summary report. This is a financial report with a summary of activities as of December 2021. The highlighted sections reflect financial transaction changes as reported in the last meeting. There was a reduction in cash on hand in the amount of approximately $3.7 million. And this is related primarily to the expenditures for the Ben Clark Training Center project in the amount of $2.3 million, the Student Services Welcome Center at the Moreno Valley College in the amount of $830,000, and the Elevator Modernization Fire Alarm System Repair project at Moreno Valley College in the amount of $274,000. Towards the bottom, the project commitments slash proposed projects and contingency both changed by the amount of $38,000. This is due to the actual interest from 2020-21 fiscal year being allocated to the centrally controlled contingency, and the closeout of two projects, the Bing Clark Corrections Platform project in the amount of $2,400 and the IT upgrade project in centrally controlled in the amount of $103. Other changes that you will see throughout the report occurred in the non-Measure C funding sources. These funds are trued up to reflect the actual expenses when a project is closed out. Two projects had non-Measure C funding sources, and one of them is the greenhouse building at the Riverside City College is reduced by $68,000. And the Bing Clark Training Center Corrections Platform project, it was reduced by $105,000. Are there any questions on this part?
Committee members, any questions? Okay. All right, doesn't sound like we have any questions.
Okay. Next, Renee, can you go to page 44, please? Thank you. Okay, this is the Capital Program Executive Summary Report. This report reflects the budget changes for the period of October through December of 2021. The income distribution is up by $296,000. This is due to the previous fiscal year actual interest and the closeout of two projects, the Bing Clark Training Center Corrections Platform project and the IT upgrade project in centrally controlled. The interest and project closeout were both taken to the November 2021 board. The methodology used to determine the interest split is based on how the bond was initially allocated to the five entities: Moreno Valley College, Norco College, Riverside City College, the district, and centrally controlled. This percentage split was applied to the fiscal year 2021 actual interest. And that concludes what I have to say. Do we have any questions?
Any questions from the committee? Doesn't sound like it, Ms. Griffin. Sounds like you made it through without any questions.
Yay.
All right. Then if looks like we're on to item number 6, then the Measure C project update.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Hossein Aga, Associate Vice Chancellor of Facilities Planning and Development. And during this period, we had only one board report. This board report really approved resolution number 25 for Riverside City College, general contractor, the general contractor's pre-qualification package for Riverside City College life science, physical science reconstruction for business education and CIS project. Only one board report, actually. And the reason for this, the unpredictable market as we speak, I mean, we wanted to improve the delivery of those projects. Although we go through additional steps, we want to make sure that we engage qualified and quality contractors who would deliver quality projects for our educational institution. That's only one board report. I'll be happy to answer any question you may have.
Any questions regarding this board report from the committee?
No questions from me.
All right.
No questions from me either.
Sounds like we're a quiet group today. All right. So then it would go to next, the Measure C project summary status update.
And that's page 84. Yes, this one. We'll start off with Riverside City College updates. We have one active project, which is the life science, physical science for business CIS. In December last year, we received the Division of State Architect approval, which is the permit to proceed with construction, and which was a couple of months ahead. The district currently in the process of submitting the working drawing to the state chancellor office, and the board, as I mentioned, approved the resolution for the general contractor pre-qualification for this particular project. For Moreno Valley, we have the Welcome Center. This project opened last November. is currently in the closeout phase, and most likely we will not see it in the next update. The other project at Marina Valley is the student services renovation project. This project is currently in the design phase, and our target to complete the design by April this year. The Ben Clark Training Center, which is part of Marina Valley College, this project is currently under construction, and construction started in September last year, and we are about 18% through construction phase. So it's moving in the right direction. No problem, knock on wood so far. The last project at Marina Valley is the fire alarm project. We completed the project, we filed the notice of completion, and we are waiting for the Division of State Architect closeout report. And most likely we will get it by end of the month. At Norco College, there was only one active project, which is the soccer field artificial turf replacement. And that project also received notice of completion, and we're waiting for the Division State of Architect to approve the construction permit, which is just paperwork and process. And most likely the project will be dropped off the list next time we meet. With that, it concludes our update, and I will be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions regarding the updates from the committee?
No.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Tate, did you have a question?
Yeah, just one simple one on the Riverside City College. Do you have a time frame for the bidding process and award the contract?
Yes. So we got DSA approval last December. We are finalizing what's called the working drawing, and we will submit to the state chancellor office for approval. So we start our bid in. Actually, we started our pre-qualification, as I mentioned, and we will get bids by June. So our target is to get a successful contractor in front of the board in June this year, and start construction next year in August.
Thank you.
Mr. Grau, I have a quick question. You mentioned the, I think it was Ben Clark is 18%. Is that on schedule, ahead, behind? How's that timeline?
At this point, we don't have any delay. We encounter, some issues with the supply chain and so forth, and that's been ongoing across the nation. However, our construction manager really have been working, and also the director of facilities working with the primes to make sure that there are no delays. So at this point, we don't foresee any delay at this particular point, and we'll keep you appraised as things move forward. But we are working very diligently to make sure we deliver the project on time.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions from any other committee members?
No.
All right. No. All right. Mr. Gaw, thank you so much for your time as well. All right. Then we will move on to item 7, which is business from the committee members. At our last meeting, we had discussed making it official the terms for the chair and vice chair. And we had voted to make that calendar year, January 1 to December 31st. And then after we did that, the suggestion was made that, hey, we should make this official and put this part of the bylaws. We had to do the status here is we now have to approve as a group that we like that this would be the wording, and then we can go to the Board of Trustees to have this added. So just two simple additions to Section 9 of the current bylaws, which discusses the officer section. In red, you see the proposed changes, of which the term for the chair and the vice chair shall be from January 1st to December 31st. And then the election for the chair and vice chair shall occur at the last scheduled meeting of the year preceding the start of the new term. I think that captured of what we decided at the last meeting and the will of the committee. So any discussion? And also I'll open it up for public comment if the public would like to make any comments. Once again, you have the ability through the website rccd.edu/committees/CBOC if you'd like to make any comments regarding this. And then I'll open it up to committee members for any discussion or motions to approve.
This is Dwight. I'll move approval.
All right. So we have a motion from Mr. Tate, second from Ms. Rizvi to approve the language for the proposed bylaw changes regarding the officers and terms and when the elections will be. With no public comment, I will go ahead and we'll take a vote. All right. Unless there's any other discussion. All right, Ms. Delgadillo.
Approve, yes.
All right, Vice Chair Petty.
Aye.
Ms. Reynolds.
Aye.
Ms. Rizvi. Ms. Rizvi, you're on mute.
Aye.
There we go, all right. And Mr. Tate.
Aye.
And I will also vote aye for a 6-0 vote. So that will approve it. And then Ms. Goldware, you can help me with the timing of getting that through the Board of Trustees. Thank you.
Will do.
All right. That is that section. Section B is other business. Any committee members have any other business to bring up, or do they have any ideas for future meetings or anything of that nature? All right, the only thing that I will say is for everyone except for Ms. Delgadillo, if you would like to remain as part of this committee, make sure that you turn in your application. We can see it is a little bit of a process to get it done and approved by the board. So we all, me included, need to fill out an application if you would like to remain as part of the committee. And if members of the public are watching and you would like to an opportunity to join this fine committee, then you can find that application on the website and turn in your application for the process. So we have a lot of members that are up, everyone except for Ms. Delgadillo. So that is my only bit of business that I will throw out there is make sure everyone applies. All right, any other business from anyone? All right, well then I think that we are good to go. I'll adjourn this meeting at 3:29. Thank you everyone.